It's crossing the tape right now. Let me explain what's happening here.
Some breaking news to share with you this morning, M&A related.
There's good activism.
I think eBay is in that situation. They got a jewel in PayPal.
There's bad activism.
My own sources on this, Jim, say it's just totally bogus.
Examples of activism gone awry.
It was not a surprise to me that that deal fell through.
This is such a game changer.
Could Campbell Soup be next on Buffett's list?
Welcome to According to Sources for the week of June 24th. I'm Mike Samuels, your host. This is a podcast that focuses on mergers and acquisitions, event-driven trading, and the sources that surround them. So that last clip that you just listened to was actually a Bloomberg clip from about 4 years ago, and it was referencing when Kraft bought Heinz. And at that point, Campbell Soup stock was roughly $36 a share. Over the next 4 years, because of all the consolidation and the excitement around food consolidation, the stock got to almost $68. And here we are, after a lot of earnings missteps and after a CEO departure, the stock sits today at $38. So over the last 5 years, it's been basically a 0% performer. On the company's last earnings conference call, which was really just explaining a disaster of a quarter, they did decide to explore strategic alternatives. And at the time, as a trader, I thought, well, it's possible, I guess, we could see a Kraft come in, or it's speculation about a Kraft coming in. And on Saturday, the New York Post has an article discussing just that. I wanted to start the podcast today discussing this just because this is the kind of story that involves two name brands that everyone knows really well. And it's the kind of story that's going to be replayed over and over again on CNBC on Monday. And it's possible that the stock could just be overdone to the upside. And me personally, I know I will be looking to short Campbell's on Monday morning if the stock is somewhere in the $41 range. Anything around up 10% is definitely a place that I would look to get involved. I would classify this story as a weak story. And when I say weak, here's what I mean by that. First of all, what is the source of the news? The source of the news is not the Wall Street Journal. It's not the FT. It's the New York Post, and the New York Post I would describe as the least reliable and most tabloid of all the business news sources. So that's part A. Part B, the article describes that Kraft has been kicking the tires on Campbell's Soup. And, you know, that's just not a surprise. Whenever a major asset with a lot of brands like Campbell's decides that they're going to run a strategic process like they announce, of course, brands like Kraft, and also mentioned as General Mills, are going to look. It's just that's what they do. If I was someone that was long Campbell Soup, I might use the opportunity to sell some stock. And if you're a trader like myself, I'm going to use the opportunity to perhaps trade it from the short side. On today's show, I just want to divide this up into three parts. Part one, a quick review of what happened last week. Part two, I'm going to give you my most actionable idea that I have currently. And then in part three, what I think is a really, really important interview with Josh Goldberg of Avatar Securities. We do a deep dive together on all things Comcast, Fox, Disney, how to trade it, what are the most tradable events from the long and the short side. Later on, we go into NXPI Qualcomm. And we also briefly discussed the Campbell Soup and Kraft story from the Post and how we feel that it might be actionable. I think we got three interesting pieces of news this week and three activist names. Number one, Sandridge Energy, ticker SD. This is a stock that Carl Icahn got involved with after the Bonanza Creek attempted acquisition. He has since tried to gain control of the board. And earlier this week, we learned that he has now controlled 5 of the 8 board seats. The analysts feel that he will quickly push for a sale of this company. What's not known is just exactly what SD can get for its assets. This is obviously a small cap name, only $600 million roughly in equity value. It's really not covered by many analysts. However, Icahn is in it. He must see value there. So it's something that I do think bears watching going forward. Number two was Forest City Realty Trust. The ticker on this is FCE/A. This was a company that was supposedly in talks with Brookfield Place back when Brookfield was very much in the midst of buying General Growth Properties, and we didn't really hear much about it afterwards. Now we're hearing a story that they're in talks. The price is roughly $25 to $25.50. I do think situations where talks break down and then resurface later are interesting because it seems like someone acquiesced or someone decided that it was in their best interest to restart. And I think the odds of a deal are much greater the second time around. So that's something that I will be looking at in the future, FCE/A. And lastly, Synaptics, ticker SYNA. a name that was very much involved with a Chinese suitor a few years ago. They said that there was this mystery Chinese suitor for $110 a share. Well, that didn't happen, and then a few years went by. Last week, we got a story from Bloomberg and also CNBC saying that Dialog Semi and Synaptics were in advanced talks. There was also further detail that they had turned down a bid of $59 a share in March. Well, due to this story's sources, I was somewhat skeptical. That being said, Dialog this week did confirm that the talks were advancing. Analysts have said that a price of $65 to $70 would warrant a proper Synaptics price. And while I'm not long Synaptics at this point, I do think I would be if the stock happened to go under $50. And now for today's most actionable idea.
A $4.3 billion conclusion to the years-long question, who wants to buy the cloud company Rackspace? The answer we now know is the PE firm Apollo.
That soundbite is from late August 2014, and it's from Bloomberg. It's discussing the company Rackspace, which is essentially a cloud-based data management service that competes with companies like AWS and Microsoft's Azure. And the company got bought out by Apollo for around $3.5 billion. The reason that I'm bringing up a cloud company that was bought out almost 2 years ago today is that I really think that the storylines in which it got bought out apply to my most actionable idea today. On August 4th, 2016, the Wall Street Journal ran a story on Rackspace, and it said that it was in advanced talks to be sold to a private equity firm. Now, the Wall Street Journal is very careful with its wording. It's boilerplate, but it's very careful in which boilerplate words to use. So when the phrase advanced talks is used, it's to my understanding that it could mean within days or imminently. And so for that reason, the stock of Rackspace quickly rose to over $30 a share. It was around $24 before the story broke. And then the days passed, and then days became weeks, and a story that was supposed to wrap up in a matter of days suddenly wasn't happening. And the share price of Rackspace slowly went down a little bit each day. And it was over 31 when the story first ran, and 2 weeks later, it was under 27. And the reason that something like this happens is just strictly out of investor fear. People will think, well, something must have happened. The deal talks must have hit a hitch. Something's wrong. And people start to sell out of a worry that maybe it's not going to happen. After a deal was reached on August 26th for $32 a share, I emailed the reporters from the Wall Street Journal, and I'd asked what exactly took so long because the talks were supposedly advanced. And they wrote me back and they said that, in fact, their story had ignited further interest in the name and that had delayed the process. I'm of the view that a very similar storyline and dynamic is happening today in shares of EDR, Education Realty Trust. On June 1st, the story first broke in the journal that EDR was in talks to be sold to private equity. On June 13th, we got more detail from the Wall Street Journal. They said Greystar was in exclusive talks to buy the name. They offered $41.50 a share, and they added the detail that it could be closed within a week. They added the last detail that there was another consortium of PE still circling the name. When you have A, multiple bidders, B, a sense of timing, and 3, the most reliable source, these are the situations that I find the most compelling. The deal obviously did not occur 2 weeks ago, and it did not occur last week. And the uncertainty sent shares of EDR below 40 once again. And while we know that a price of $41.50 was apparently offered, so says the Wall Street Journal, we also saw that the talks are exclusive. And what that means to me is that EDR is letting Greystar fully look at their books with hope they can offer more. And that is often the case of how things conclude, in my opinion. The delay in the process could be such as what happened in Rackspace, the result of the Wall Street Journal igniting further interest in a company such as EDR. I currently own shares. I think there's a high likelihood of a deal here. And I think, according to analysts, they could reach a price of $42 to $44. For my interview this week, I had Josh Goldberg of Avatar Securities live in studio. He's an event trader like myself. And we discussed Campbell Soup and Kraft. We discussed NXPI and Qualcomm. But we let off with the most relevant story, I believe, of the week, which was Comcast, Disney, Fox, and what happens from here. Josh, before we start, why don't you just give us a little bit of background on what you do and what your strategy is?
I trade prop at Avatar Securities. I focus on event-driven trades and news trades. Most of my trades have to do with mergers and acquisitions and spin-offs and other related corporate activities.
So obviously there's a lot going on. Everyone's talking about the media space. So I feel like, especially with everything that happened this week, the best place to start is just talking about Disney, Fox, and Comcast. So one of the things that I struggled with this week, and actually the week of that the merger was approved, was trying to understand why Disney stock wasn't going down. Because to me, the event of Disney having to pay more for Fox would be a negative event, and yet that hasn't been the case. So what has your experience been with this? What am I missing? What have you been doing?
I think one of the big things that happened here was a lot of people were long Fox A and short Disney. And after the AT&T Time Warner ruling and the Comcast bid came, and the certainty of the Comcast bid coming was really realized, a lot of people saw no reason to still be short Disney. And what we saw was a lot of people removing their hedge, because what was going to happen was the Fox A assets were going to trade based on value, not based on value determined by some kind of a stock price. Really, because Comcast was bidding all cash.
Right, but I guess the way that I was looking at it is the idea of Disney having to pay more, even if it's in cash, even if the stock ratio changes, the idea of Disney having to pay more has to be a negative event, any way you look at it. And if I had this spread on before, and I've essentially hit a home run, right? Because my Fox portion of my spread has gone up so tremendously, and maybe that's why people are taking this off. But this should have all been taken off in the first few days. And yet when the Disney bid went from $28 to $38, and I'm shorting Disney at 105 and it rips in my face to 108, I still don't understand what's going on.
So I think the idea that to short Disney on them needing to pay more was a very crowded trade. And we've seen people unwinding that trade and also taking off more of the hedge with the new Disney bid having a lower ratio of stock.
Okay, so fine. Based on that, let's say hypothetically, Comcast, even though everyone expects Comcast to bid, let's say hypothetically, Comcast walks away. That the Disney bid was such a blowout bid that they don't want to participate in this anymore. Does Disney stock go down that day, or does Disney stock go up that day?
I think we could see a little bit of a two-sided flow there. We'll see some people setting the spread, buying Fox A and actually shorting Disney. As people that are long Fox A will just start selling some because it's not going to get any better for them. And now they're stuck with a regulatory hurdle of the deal actually getting approved. But we also see the fact that Disney isn't going to need to pay even more for the asset, which people think they will now. I can't really think of anyone who doesn't think we're not going to see another round of bidding in this.
So I guess here's what I don't understand, I guess. It doesn't seem like Disney holders are bothered by any price they have to pay for this. Do you think that's fair?
I do think that's fair, but I think if the bidding gets even sillier, Disney holders in the end could care.
So where do you think, going back to Fox for a second, where do you think this finally ends up? Do you have a view? Are you long Fox? Do you want to be?
I have no position in Fox, and I find it to still be somewhat unshortable. I think we have one more bid from Comcast coming. And then we have a possible match bid, or it's even possible Disney bids a little less than the next Comcast bid and argues that they have more regulatory certainty. And then I think we're in a situation where Comcast could then bid again. And I think that that seems extremely likely to me. I think Comcast doesn't seem to be backing down, and Comcast stock price isn't really important to them, seeing how they have a controlling family. And the controlling family seems to be backing this bid.
So I asked the source. There was a story that came out earlier this week that essentially said that the Department of Justice was very close to approving Disney Fox. And I asked the source, the question was, hypothetically this happens, hypothetically Comcast walks away, how soon could Disney and Fox close? He said that they would need FCC approval, they would need a couple of international approvals, but essentially this could close in 4 months. And so that would be pretty comforting. But if Comcast wins and the clock gets reset, do you have any thoughts on A, deal probability, and B, how long this could take?
I think a Fox Comcast bid would take north of a year. I also saw that report about Disney Fox possibly being approved soon, and I thought it was a little premature for that. But I do think anything's possible with today's administration.
So we don't think Fox A is a short anywhere. And then, you know, people are always going to talk about this idea of like this mystery third bidder, right? That like an Apple or an Amazon or one of these humongous tech giants is going to come in. Do you think that holds any credence or weight?
Well, I don't think Fox A isn't a short anywhere. I just don't think it's a short yet. I think what we need to wait for here is for another round of bidding. And then eventually people will start to actually discount the probability of the deal closing. And at that point, the relentless buying and the lack of selling could actually shift to people who want to take profits on the recent 25% plus run in the stock.
So you've been doing this for a while, and I was trying to compare the situation to anything that's happened in the past just to look for a model on it. The only thing that I could come up with recently is when Verizon and AT&T were bidding for Straight Path, and the bid was one after another after another. Can you, in your memory, relate this situation to anything you've seen before?
I understand what you're saying about Verizon Straight Path, but the Fox asset is so much bigger than Straight Path was. I don't know offhand, but I'd imagine Fox is probably 12 to 15 times as big as Straight Path ended up going for in the end. I've heard it likened to some of the bidding wars for some of the movie studios back in the day, but that's about it.
Right. Like people talked about the Viacom bid for Paramount, which was in like the 90s.
Yeah.
So then,
I mean, going back to what you said before, I think an interesting thing is this mystery third bidder. And if you are a mystery third bidder, one of these giant tech companies with extremely deep pockets, you know, you're going to wait until Fox and Comcast have duked it out. And then when one of them is the perceived winner, or maybe somehow they agree to, you know, each buy part of it, or, you know, whatever ends up happening there, at that point, if you're the mystery third bidder, that's when you really sit down and sharpen your pencils and say, like, do we want to pay more for this asset, which is a unique asset, which is only going to trade once.
Right, right. And then, I, you know, my mind and me being like a conspiracy theorist, because the Fox A asset, which was trading for, Fox was trading for $26, what seemed like forever. And now people are realizing that it was extremely undervalued, and now it's going to go for 50 plus. And so Disney, which has been trading at 100 forever, is it crazy to think that a mystery third bidder could just come over the top for Disney? Certainly Apple, which is almost at a $1 trillion valuation, could pay $200 billion for Disney. It's possible. Is that crazy, or do you think there's like a slight chance? What do you think about that theory?
You know, I have a lot of trouble discounting that, because these are unique assets, and there is kind of a grab going on for content right now. And these tech companies, you know, they're doing things where they're trying to create their own content, and they're trying to compete with the likes of Netflix, and they're trying to just, you know, own more viewers. And I don't think someone comes in for Disney. I think it's too big for them to swallow, but I don't think it's I don't think it's impossible for them to come in for Fox A, or maybe even like a CBS, or maybe some of the other media assets like Lionsgate, or, you know, some other smaller type deals.
So a lot of people think that whoever doesn't buy Fox, that they are going to go on the hunt now for like this consolation prize. And people the other day mentioned Sony, something like that, you know, one of the last remaining movie studios. Do you think that's true, that one of these companies will then immediately go after another asset? Or do you think this is a very Fox-specific situation?
I think it's a changing landscape in the media space right now, and I think it's possible for anything to happen right now, especially if one of these tech companies throws their hat in the ring. I mean, if one of them throws their hat in the ring, it can almost force the other ones to have to start looking at things and buying up assets.
So a company like CBS is the most logical, right? But they're obviously involved in this litigation, and there's a whole different story happening with CBS. There was actually a story out today that said that AT&T, the Wall Street Journal said AT&T was looking at CBS before Time Warner, and that Shari Redstone has essentially told them she was not interested. How do you see CBS playing out in the end? This is going to take a while, but how do you eventually see this playing out?
I'm really not sure on CBS. I think CBS is an attractive asset, and I think a lot of things could happen to it. I'm not sure anyone is really going to be able to buy it, but I don't think you could rule that out yet.
What do you think Well, before that, let's go back to Comcast for a second. So Comcast, the stock was 40 before they made the bid for Sky, and every time, you know, now we've seen them bid for Sky, now we've seen the bid for Fox. The stock's gone all the way down to 31. What do you think an all clear looks like for Comcast for people to get long this?
I think people just want some certainty in Comcast, and we saw that on the day that they actually, on the day that AT&T won and people knew that Comcast was going to bid, we saw Comcast stock get a relief rally. I think Comcast has been pretty beaten down on the fact that they're going to bid, and I'm not sure there's a ton of more downside, but by the same token, I don't really see the massive upside back to the $40 level that some people argue should be there.
Okay, so Josh, to drive this home to some sort of tradable event, what do you think a Fox A short trade looks like?
I think what we're really waiting for here is the next two events. We need Comcast to come back, and then we need Disney's response. And at that point, we're at a spot where it's possible for us to consider shorting Fox A. And what we're really looking for there is a change in the flows. We're looking for something that's going to get these holders who have been long the whole time to start saying, you know, I don't have that much more upside left. And there is some downside to the possibility that a deal does not get approved.
But I think also important to drive home that, well, you know, what are you playing for, right? So if I'm shorting Fox A, what am I playing for? I'm probably playing for like a few bucks at the most, right?
I'd say that you're probably playing for 5%, maybe 4%. But you're hoping to get that on the instance of like the market opening that day after the event that's going to make people reshift their upside downside. But I also really want to stress that one thing I think is important here is you don't really want to be short Fox A that long or hold it overnight, because the possibility of a mystery third bidder coming in after the Disney Comcast fight is resolved, in my mind, shifts from like a single digit percentage to, you know, almost a double digit, maybe low 20% chance that we get a story in the days following that someone else is going to look or so someone else is going to consider it.
I was thinking that maybe the most tradable Fox A event is if Comcast wins. Because the only reason I say that is because then it really resets the clock. And then if I'm a Fox A holder, I don't want to be around for that.
No, I don't. I think Fox A holders will be much more happy to hold Fox A Disney. Basically, because they'll be getting some Disney stock. They'll be able to argue to themselves that they want to stay long the combined company on the back end. And they'll see it as a possible new way to, you know, be long in an early stage Netflix.
Gun to your head right now, June 24th. Would you rather be long Disney, short Disney?
I think I'd rather be short Disney. I think there's been this unnatural flow of people unwinding the spread and kind of a complacency, and people really aren't looking at what it's going to look like on the back end, and Disney is going to have to pay more. I think net-net, Disney probably goes slightly for sale after this covering bid is gone from it.
I'd rather be short Disney too, but that trade's been wrong, and I've already lost a few times in it. Would you rather be long or short Comcast?
I don't see a massive amount of downside to Comcast anymore. I know it's rallied a lot off the bottom, and I don't think there's much to do in it right here. But I think if Comcast got hit meaningfully on them bidding higher, I'd be a buyer.
Fox A, we said we're looking for a place to short it.
I'd be looking for a place to short it, but to be honest, I think it's probably still a long. I think the next events in Fox A are more bids, possible stories of a third bidder. And even though it's up almost 100% from where it started, I don't see this ending badly for them.
I can't bring myself to be long Fox A at this point, but it probably is a long.
Yeah, we missed it.
Yeah, we missed it. So, and then lastly, CBS, do you think there's anything to do here?
CBS to me is just so complicated that I've been staying away from it lately.
I agree. All right, so let's just switch gears for a second, because there was a story in the New York Post yesterday that said that Kraft Heinz was looking seriously at Campbell's Soup. And I just want to talk about that for a second, because we saw a story on Thursday that said that Pinnacle Foods and Conagra were possibly looking to merge. That's probably the least surprising story of the year. So just starting with Kraft and Campbell's, I thought the story was kind of weak. What did you think?
I thought the story was weak as well, and I thought one key part to that story was that it insinuated that Campbell's would have to be a friendly seller. And I'm not sure that Campbell's right now, even given their problems, is looking to accept a lowball bid from Kraft Heinz.
I would agree, but they don't have a CEO right now, so they're pretty vulnerable. The food space has been consolidating, even though we haven't seen it in a while. Though it's the one thing that's surprising is we haven't really heard from certain sort of activists in Campbell's that someone has come in. Like, you know, we're seeing so much activity in Newell, two activists in Newell Brands, and yet no one's interested in Campbell's. I kind of think that it's much more likely that some vultures will just like buy a few of the brands of Campbell's rather than someone buy the whole thing. But I do think it's going to be interesting to short it if it ends up gapping up on Monday, don't you think?
I think we'd want to see a gap up of like 10%. And then personally, I think it's really about timing. I think on Monday we'll go in, trading starts at 4 a.m. and we'll see net buyers for the first 3 to 4 hours. And at that point, if the stock's at an appropriate price where we could start to sell it, I think we could start to short it. But I also think we'll see more stories. And a really big thing I'm looking for is whether or not Campbell's is going to embrace a bid or they're going to tell them that we're not interested at this time.
Right. I also just, I think it's important to note that news is only as good as the source that it's come from, right? And the fact that this is in the New York Post, it to me just diminishes the story even more. It's a weak story from a weak source. And it's the kind of story that it gets a lot of play, meaning it'll be on CNBC all day on Monday. And unless it's backed up by another news outlet, I'm not really interested in it.
I tend to look for matches. And if I saw a match on that story from like a Dow Jones, a Wall Street Journal, a Bloomberg News, I would definitely be a little less willing to short it. But if it is just the New York Post, I don't think I'd have a problem taking a stab on the short side in this one on Monday.
Quickly, let's just talk about NXPI Qualcomm. We got a little bit more clarity this week when the House met with, the Republicans met with Trump, and they seemed to be closer to some sort of, I guess I would call it a compromise on ZTE. I know we've talked about this, I feel like forever. Are you sick of talking about this? And do you have anything on?
I don't have anything on right now. I've been trading around the July 120 calls that expire on July 20th. A big problem I think is going on with this right now is that people are just sick of it. People have seen the run-up to, you know, we're going to get approved any day twice now. And then they've seen the run down to under 110. And the shift between hope and greed for people has been so drastic that I think people are starting to just get shell-shocked. Friday morning, it was reported by CNBC that ZTE was depositing the money, and it wasn't until that story re-ran in the afternoon that NXPI went up almost $2 on Friday. And
that's one of those weird situations where you wonder, I was like, who's buying this?
It was one of those situations for me where it's like, you know, we know this news, and now for some reason people care about it on a Friday afternoon. And it's not something I consider shorting, but, you know, I just watched it go up on something that I didn't buy in the morning that I thought was a positive development.
See, I think we will end up getting a really good look when it's clearly time to buy NXPI. Because this has almost been like, how many times do I want to touch the hot stove? People are going to be so reluctant to pay, you know, 120. So, for example, let's say we get a headline that says, you know, people like Rubio or Schumer, they've reached a compromise with Trump. And they're going to let ZTE stay in business. Let's say the compromise is they're just not allowed to sell to the federal government, right? I think the stock would go to 118, and I'd much rather pay 118 with that overhang than gamble now.
I agree with you. I want more clarity. I'm not 100% sure that this is all ZTE. I think it also has to do with a broader trade war situation that's going on. And a big problem I've had with this one is following the South China Morning Post article, which to me has always been an amazing source. Like, South China Morning Post to me was basically China telling us something. And following that article, I sit there and I wonder, what was China telling us? And I feel like what China was telling us was that MOFCOM has approved this deal and we're not letting it happen. And it leaves me wondering why they're not letting it happen. Like, what does China want? Because to me, ZTE will get done. There'll be some kind of deal which will keep ZTE in business. And I feel like that's consensus. And we all know that's going to happen eventually. And we're watching a political show for the benefit of politics. And if that's really the case, what does China want? The approval sitting on the desk of Xi, and he's not approving it. He's not letting it go through. And I'm just left with the question of why.
I see. I think that they just don't want to look foolish. So if they approve Qualcomm NXPI, then Trump has, you know, he's less incentivized, I guess, to really push for ZTE sanctions to be lifted.
I understand what you're saying, but to me, I just don't see the president and our country really caring so much about Qualcomm buying NXPI in terms of what that means for China trade wars and ZTE sanctions.
I would agree with you, but at the same time, look how protective we got when Avago tried to buy Qualcomm.
The protection basically being that 5G is the future. So then what we're saying is Qualcomm isn't going to be able to develop 5G without NXPI, and that's worth something in China trade wars and ZTE negotiations. I feel like China is definitely like holding it as a chip, but I just don't see it as this like trumping trip, this chip that's so powerful in these negotiations.
So if you got clarity on ZTE sanctions, you would not pay 118?
If I got clarity on ZTE sanctions, I don't think I'd pay 118. I think we're waiting. I think what's going to happen here is we're going to walk in and this is just going to be done one day. And I don't know what it's going to take to get it done, but I don't see China approving this after ZTE sanctions are there. And also, when do you think we get clarity on ZTE sanctions?
Obviously, we need to get it before July 25th.
Well, that's another great question. Like, do you think Qualcomm extends the tender offer?
No. I think they're sick of this. One last thing on NXPI. What's the downside, do you think?
I know that the index has had a pretty good performance recently, but I still think NXPI on a block will have the wrong holders. And I personally see it sub 100. I don't see it sub 90, but I believe the downside is probably in the $95 area.
Here's the scary thing to me about NXPI. There's so many event guys in it. And if I'm an event guy, when it's over, it's over. So if the stock's 100 or the stock's 95, I'm not going to stop selling because I think it's undervalued. At this point, no one's ever going to buy NXP. No one's ever going to go through this again. And so now you just own this company. And it's a company that sort of hasn't been on sure footing in the last year. So it's sort of, you know, what am I buying?
Yeah, like you're saying, I think it really would need to turn over. You'd probably need to see north of $10 or $20 billion worth of stock change hands from event guys who aren't the long-term fundy holders that you need to come in and support the stock to people who actually care. And that tends to happen over the course of days, not on the first day. So, you know, on an NXPI actual deal block or deal not happening, I don't think I'd really be in a rush to buy it. And if I was looking to buy it, I think I'd try to average out over the first like 3 or 4 or 5 days after the break.
Right. So I think that the stock closed at 115 on Friday. So you got 1250 up, and you're saying you think you've got like 15 plus down.
I think NXPI definitely trades under 100 on a block.
I agree. Well, I think that's about it. Josh, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
To wrap up for this week, for starters, Campbell's Soup, buyer beware. I actually think the story was weak from the post, and I would look to short it at 40 or 41. Number two, I believe that EDR is the most compelling long that I currently see out there right now. And number three, we heard a lot from Josh. I'd like to thank Josh so much for coming on. I think we both agree that when it comes to Fox, it's still sort of a wait and see situation, but we both did agree that Disney should be a short once this is all concluded, based on the fact that they do have to pay so much more for this asset. And when it came to NXPI Qualcomm, we sort of disagree. I'm of the camp that it's a straight up ZTE for NXPI trade, and ZTE, if and when it gets lifted, NXPI will go through. Josh is not of that camp. He thinks it's a more of a broader story involving China tariff trades. I continue to believe that if we do get ZTE sanctions lifted, I can probably buy NXPI at 118 or below, and I will do so. That wraps up According to Sources for the week of June 24th. I'll see you next week. Disclaimer: the ideas and views discussed on this podcast are the opinions of According to Sources and Broome Street Capital. Broome Street Capital will not be held liable for any losses that may incur as a result of advice taken from this podcast.
Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back to school shopping done now at amazon.com/backtoschool and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.